thank you, Lord, for your wonderful spirit in this place this morning. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for going on the cross for us and for dying for us, Lord, and for receiving those nails for us, Lord. How great you are, Lord. And not only that you died, but you've resurrected, Lord, and you're alive, oh God, because you're alive in our hearts, oh Father. We thank you, Lord, for this church, oh God, for the body of Christ, oh Lord. As when we unite ourselves together into your place, oh God, into this house, oh God. As when our brothers and sisters focus together and worship you, Lord, as we minister to you, Lord, you speak to us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do this morning, oh Lord, as we continue the service, oh God.
Yes.
As we read your word,
you,
we ask you, Lord, not only that it tingles our ear, but Lord, but it would change our hearts, oh God. It would encourage us, it would correct us, and help us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. You may be seated. Before I going to the word this morning, first of all, I want to say, worship team, thank you very much for leading the Holy Spirit upon your lives. May the Lord continue to bless you all. Beautiful time in the presence of God. Also, I want to once again welcome ones online who was watching online. So welcome, viewers, and I just pray that you would be encouraged through the word of God this morning. Also, I want to say the newlyweds are in house today. So we want to say Kayla and Barrington, congratulations on behalf of New Hope Christian Assembly. May the Lord continue to bless you all. Amen. Praise God. If anybody doesn't know Kayla and Barrington, you can stand here for a moment. Just stand for a moment. So we welcome you. Welcome, well. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. A couple of, maybe the month when it was Easter time, I was, while I was preparing for Easter service, the Lord has placed to me a couple of messages, if you recall, and one of them was about the thief on the cross, how Jesus responded and how the two thieves were speaking on with Jesus at the cross at the day of when he was being crucified. But I said I wanted to leave that. Just God was ministering my heart at that time there. And then last week we heard a message from Pastor Allen, it is finished. So addiction is finished and so forth. And he shared from God's word and he spoke about the cross. So it just triggered my heart at that time to say, let me get back into what God has placed on my heart on Easter Sunday. And so I wanted to touch a bit about the cross. Who says that we have to wait for Easter to speak about the cross? We don't have to wait about Easter or Good Friday to speak about the cross. The cross, we're supposed to be speaking about it every single day because Christ died on the cross for you and I, and he raised from the dead. So it's not an Easter or a Good Friday service, but I want to speak to you about the cross. And at times we hear it once a year, but this time we're going to hear maybe 3, 4, 5 times this whole year about the cross. Because I know when we think about the cross, what Jesus has done for us. But there's something about the cross. There's something about the two thieves that I want to present with you this morning. The two thieves had two different, they're both being crucified alongside with Jesus, and two of them have a different response. And we can relate to one of the two thieves this morning. When I was meditating and I was looking at these scriptures, it really scared me because there's some things that the thief said that you and I have heard or maybe even experienced or even said in our walk with Christ. And I want to just look at those two thieves this morning and present to you from God's Word. And I want to dig into God's Word this morning, and I want to just pinpoint some key words for us that we can bring home and we can just put and cherish in our heart and learn from it. And there's one thing that I've learned through all this here in this text, and I'm going to be sharing it later on there. The voice of Jesus was louder than the voice of the crowd of one of the thieves. The voice of Jesus was louder than the voice of the crowd, because we're going to see a crowd criticizing and insulting, but there is one thief, the one thief on the side of Jesus overlooked at the voice of the crowd, but heard the voice of Jesus, and that's where he brought him into paradise with him that same day. And we're going to look at that, dissect that this morning to you. So it's in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Do you hear me well? Because I'm seeing that there's a little bit of a muffle around here. So it's not my voice. I'm still here. I'm not sick today. So Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. We're going to look at this context. The context is found, of the story is found in Luke 9. And we can see it begins in Luke 9. We see that Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. He makes his way towards Jerusalem where he would die. He was a man on a mission. And in Luke 9, we see that Jesus makes his way and nothing would distract him, because he had come in this world to do something, what God has called him to do, to fulfill what God has called him to do, is to die on the cross. And then later on, we see the resurrection of Christ. But Luke 19, it's where he begins the story. It picks up the pace where he enters into Jerusalem, the triumph, the entry. It's where he cleans the temple complex, and then he takes the Last Supper with his disciples. Then he goes on and prays in the garden. Then he gets betrayed. He was betrayed, arrested. Now he stands before the council, then beaten by the people and delivered to be crucified. And at that, it's right there where Jesus would be crucified and would die. And we all know it went to a place called Golgotha. It was a place called the Skull, and that's where he would die with the other two thieves. And it brings us to Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to 43. Let's get there. So here it is, with the Lord add another blessing upon our lives this morning through his scriptures. Two other criminals were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, and one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." And they divided their clothes and cast lots. The people stood watching, and even the leaders kept scoffing, and he said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is God's Messiah, the chosen one." Then the soldiers also mocked him. They came offering him sour wine and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription was above him saying, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." That's a very important point right there, verse 39. We're going to look at it later on. But the other answered, rebuking him, "Don't you even fear God?" That's another important part that we're going to look at. "Since you are undergoing the same punishment, we are punished justly because we are getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." And I've read this text many times. We all read this text and heard messages on this text here. But I don't know if you ever heard the messages on the two thieves. There's something important about the two thieves when he was alongside with Jesus. So, and when I was looking at this, two men, two different responses, one on the left, one on the right, the same pardoned criminals, maybe both even murderers. We don't know what they were doing, but both of them were there alongside what Jesus is in the middle. So this verse 32 says that other two criminals were also led away to be executed with him. And when they arrived at a place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, and one on the right and one on the left. So here it is. They're both incredibly suffering. They're both facing extreme pain. They both were going to die on the cross. And both wanted to be saved by Jesus in different ways, but both requested to be saved. So they both wanted to be saved, but one was wanted to be saved to get him off the cross, but the other wanted to be saved to be in paradise with him. So the two different things right there we're going to look at this morning. There is nothing more important than the way we respond to Jesus Christ. Nothing. But remember, nothing matters more than your life in the way we, in which we respond to Jesus. How? However, let's keep it a little bit higher. The way we respond to Jesus is extremely important. Now, remember, they're both suffering and both different responses. The time when we come in our lives of suffering, how are we going to respond to that? How are we going to respond to that suffering? Because every one of us are going to go through suffering in some sort of a way. Every one of us will face a trial. Every one of us will have an opposition in life. Now, I just don't want to always talk about the negative things, about opposition and suffering and all that stuff. But through the scriptures, I want to look at it something that the voice of Jesus was louder than the voice of the crowd. And I want to see that through that thief. It was extremely important what he had said and what he was listening at. It's very good for us to learn that. So a little bit higher. How are we going to respond to Jesus whenever we face trials, moments of suffering in different times? And I remember a pastor once said this. He discovered this in the ministry. I met people where they faced lots of moments of disappointments and moment of which life is not going the way they wanted to. Maybe a moment you ask God for an answer prayer and then not. A moment that you found yourself a little disturbed. But let me tell you something, when you get the moments of disappointment, situations and problems, prayer is not answered, a moment can be disturbed. It is that moment you choose the way you will respond to Jesus. It is that moment is important, because if you have to examine yourself right now. You're home and something happens and a situation happens. How are we going to respond to that situation? Are we going to respond and say, God, why you're not there? If I serve you, you are the Messiah, God. Why you're not responding to me? Or are you just going to totally trust in him and say, Lord, not only that I am suffering, but you're suffering with me. That's the key, because the thief was right there suffering not only with Jesus, but Jesus was alongside with him, suffering with him. And it's extremely important that we need to understand that also this morning. I can't imagine the way they were suffering on the cross. The two men, their hands and their feet were nailed to the cross. The extreme pain that they had. But the interesting part of all this is the way they responded. And I would like to go through God's word this morning and dig out something that's extremely important for that I've learned that I want to bring it out for you this morning. And let's look at the way that one of them responded. Many of us respond in one of these two ways. We go through hard moments. And this text is the way that we responded made a big difference in that person's life. And we look at the first thief on the cross is verse 39. There, the one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. So basically, in one word, the thief was enraged. He wasn't happy. He was angry. He was disappointed. Because if you are the Messiah, why don't you save yourself and us? He pulled insults at them. He started rage and maybe some cocky way of ways of making fun of each other. Like, come on, help me out here, or something like that. Not the Italian way, but you know what I'm saying. You can't do that. He was nailed to the cross. But I mean, he has a way of just insulting and laughing and mocking him and say, come on, why don't you help yourself and help me? We need help here. You're suffering. If you are the Messiah, get off this cross and help us out. And he insults an insult. Even the people had the same response as his first thief. And we also see in verse 27, and it's not there, but a large crowd followed him, including women who were mourning and lamenting him. Yes, women are also welcome in the kingdom of God. Women complained, and these were complaining and mourning here. They were making some things, and the women was part of right there. So they were also making fun. Here, that's including women, were mourning and lamenting him. Then in verse 35, we can see this. The people stood watching, and what? And even the leaders kept scoffing and saved others. Let him save himself. This is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him. They came offering him sound wire. And then if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. But look at this, it's important here. One, the people. 2, the leaders. 3, the soldiers. Now, all this crowd here is just mocking Jesus. Save yourself. Save yourself. And they're just attacking him with those words. And people, leaders, and the soldiers were all insulting Jesus. But remember something extremely important. That voice, those voices were loud. There's people there just yelling at Jesus at the cross and insulting him. And the other thief is right there listening to those voices. You know what happens in life at times when we go through sufferings? The voices of people, the voices of the crowd can crush you. But you must listen to the voice of God, to the voice of Jesus. That's the voice that you must listen to. Now, the voice of Jesus was louder than the voice of the crowd. Because you and I hear thousands of voices a day to our lives when something happens to our homes, or when something hits us and things are happening. Did I make the right decision? Is it wrong decision that I've done? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to have these bills? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to suffer with my kids? And then the crowd will come in and start saying, is that Jesus, the one you serve? He's not giving you the finances. He's not giving you a job. He's not giving you your health. Family, and all these insults and hit, and those voices that hit our home can just crush us. But no, we need to hear the voice of Jesus. Must be louder than the voice of the crowd. Must be louder than the voice of the crowd. This is the way you and I can feel at times. There are people that speak us that way, and they speak the way, oh, Lord, that's the Jesus that you serve. And I've heard that, and you have heard that also. One of the criminals hanging there began to insult him, and said, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. There's a small difference what the people were saying and the thief. He was angry, and he said something different than the people. The thief said, watch this. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself. And that's a key word as the next one, and us. Now I'm going to explain you why save yourself and us. It was more of a personal thing for that thief. In a nutshell, he was saying you are the Messiah. If you don't save yourself, it's a personal thing. Save yourself and us. The thief had a hard time to comprehend. If he was the Messiah, you are the Messiah, why don't you save yourself? His request was simple, just save. If his request was simple in saying, save me, the Lord would have saved him. But Jesus, it would remove everything what he had to be accomplished for if he was going to save himself and save him. Jesus had to come and fulfill what he had to do. He had to die for us. So he couldn't save himself. That's the one request he didn't do. He's not going to save himself, because if he removed, he in a wink of an eye or just a little flick of a finger, he could have just saved himself and the rest of the people on the cross. He could have done that. And how many times we're in that situation, in the same situation, to say, Lord, save me, save yourself. If you are the Messiah, save us. Save us, Lord. And here it is, that thief, he did not understand, he did not comprehend why Jesus came. He came to save the world. And he came to suffer for us. That's what he came to say. Save yourself and us. And that's the only thing that Jesus didn't want to respond to that request. Because if he did that, it would have defeated the purpose why God sent his son on the cross for us. Lord, why isn't it when I call you don't answer me? This is exactly what the man is feeling, rage in his man's heart. And it seems Jesus is doing nothing. And at times I can identify as that thief. And let me explain you more, that the more I look at this verse, the more I see at times I am there at that time. I speak at times the same way as that first thief did. Listen carefully. I have asked God at times simple things and God didn't even answer me. Am I the only one here? And I don't understand why he's not hearing my voice. And it seems that God just becomes silent when you're asking for a small little thing. And how quick. And then I'm surprised even at myself at times when I get, when I'm suffering and I'm going through situations in my life, it's so easy and quick for me to start being angry towards God. I say, why God? Why are you not answering me, Lord? What's going on, Lord? Am I the only one that feels that way? And how quick we are to forget at times he saved us. And so quick of us that we get angry in the moments we get angry and start asking questions to God. And I've realized that the attitude of the thieves is at times the same attitude of us in responding. Rage can come upon our hearts when we find ourselves disappointed with God. Man was praying for healing for some time, and while he had no response from God, then his attitude changes. He says, why should I pray if he doesn't answer? If God loves and cares for me, why is he not answering me? And the attitude starts to change. The prayer starts to change. It says, I'm not going to start praying anymore. He hasn't responded for me. He hasn't answered me. I'm still waiting. It's a year. It's 2 years. It's 3 years. Whatever it is, the time. And I'm praying and I'm praying. And God's not responding. He seems silent. And all of a sudden, these little attitudes. And when we realize that God is not responding, that was in the heart of this thief here, that he was feeling he is in this problem with that. The problem arises when we get quick to blame and get angry with God and allowing it to come into our hearts. And it forgets all the faithfulness of God. We forget all the promises of God just for little thing, as God did not respond to that prayer of yours, all of a sudden our attitude kicks in and we just forget the faithfulness of God and we forget all the promises of God and we say, God, you're not there. What's going on with you? Am I the only one? We all face that way. And if I'm speaking this from my heart this morning, it's because I'm faced that. And I'm sharing it from my heart. And I looked at this word and I looked at the word of God and I said, Holy Spirit, direct me and teach me and help me understand to not think that way. But look, overlook at that and just remember ourselves when the suffering comes, remembering ourselves, God is faithful. Remembering the promises of God. When he says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Amen? When you walk all those promises that God has given to us, he is there for us. He is suffering not far distance. He's not looking at us suffer, but he's suffering alongside with us. The thief were on the cross, but Jesus was alongside, suffering with both. Isn't that amazing? He's alongside with us, suffering. So if you're hurt, he's hurt. If you're suffering, he's suffering. And he's with you along the way. He had no interest. The reality is the only thing that about this, that moment that if Jesus, see, if he said, save yourself and us. Now look at this for a moment here. He had no interest in Jesus. He wanted Jesus to get him off the cross. That's the only thing he wanted. So there are people in this world, or even people that you know, that people that I experienced with today, they needed God so bad to get them out of the situation. And when God helps them out of the situation, they forget God. That thief was worried about himself. He didn't care about soul. He didn't care about, oh, save yourself. And he said, and us. Save yourself first and us. And we at times can do the same thing. And I've ministered to people and I've counseled people that I took time and time with them, helped them in out of situations. And all of a sudden, when God has helped them out of situation, they're vanished from the place of the earth, the planet of the earth. They're vanished. You don't see them anymore. Because they didn't want Jesus. They wanted a fast fix and they wanted Jesus to get them off that situation. And that's what happened to this thief right here. Because if his words would have changed to save me, it would be a completely different response and a different outcome of it. Two things the thief has not seen while Jesus was on the cross. First is the thief did not see that Jesus was suffering and suffering for him. And why do I say that? Because we see it in verse 39. He says, and the other criminals hanging there began yelling insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The thing that Jesus couldn't do both is the same time. Why? He couldn't save himself because he was going to die for the world. It was impossible for Jesus to save himself and to save him. He had to refuse to use that power to get himself off the cross in order to save man and the other side of him, the other man beside him. He had to be there on the cross. He had to be there. He did not want to step down. He couldn't step down. This man did not see the reason why Jesus came. He did not understand. He didn't comprehend why Jesus walked and picked up that cross and went on the cross for the people. He did not understand it. He did not comprehend that at that moment there. That was the most loving thing that Jesus has done, is to refuse his request. And by refusing his request, you and I have experienced a life in Jesus Christ. Because he refused that request of that man to not get off that cross. The most loving thing that Jesus did is not answer that request. If Jesus would get off that, he would have probably lived for another 20 years, this man. He could have helped him off another 20 years, but still died without Jesus Christ. And how gracious of God did not answer the cry of the thief. The thief just wanted to be saved from the cross, but in reality, he would never follow him. In 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered for sins, once for all righteous, the righteousness and for the unrighteous, that we might bring you to God, and after being put to death in the fleshy realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm. But the other criminal does not see this. This criminal did not see why Jesus went on the cross. The thief was hanging there because of his own sin, and Jesus was hanging there because of their sin. Think of it for a moment. The incredible mercy of God. Not only that he didn't see, he suffered for him, and suffered with him. The two thieves were on the cross because they deserved it, and they must have murdered one or two people, and the other thief says, you deserve it. That's what the scripture says in verse 40. But the other one answered, rebuking him, don't you fear God, since you're undergoing the same punishment? He could have, he had 6 to 7 hours beside Jesus right there. He didn't understand it. Why don't you get right with God? What's going on? Don't you fear God? What's going on with you? He didn't see that Jesus did not only die for us, he suffered for all of us. He wouldn't realize in this text, Jesus did not suffer for this. He suffered with us, close by us. Jesus is with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. You're sitting on that pew right now. He knows your thought. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows your suffering. He knows your pain. He knows everything what's going on in your life right now. And that's the beauty of it. He knows us. He had already experienced it before. Jesus promise us that he will be with us until the very end of age? Isn't that a promise for you and I? This man did not understand that Jesus was dying on the cross for him. Let me tell you this, Jesus did not come to deliver us from all suffering. Jesus has come to ensure that our suffering will never win, that it does not have victory over us. According to Psalm 121, it is very clear to us that evil will not prevail over us. But you will suffer, but in Christ's suffering it will not. Because Christ will take care of it. He is the man. Moment of suffering. Here's this man. Moment of suffering makes the wrong response and pays the consequences. Died without Christ. The other thief is something that I want to look at here. Verse 40 to 42. But the other answered, rebuking him, don't you even fear God? Since you're undergoing the same punishment, we are punished justly because we're getting back to what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. See, the second thief we see is more of faith. More of trusting. We see the acceptance. Instead of becoming angry with Jesus, even though the both of them really did not fully understand what Jesus was doing, but choosing to believe this was going to be suffering on the cross. But in a while, he would have been in a better place called paradise with no more suffering. Think about it for a moment. The both thieves, same consequences on the cross. Both are guilty that will die in a moment. Both are next to Jesus. One man's response saves Jesus, saves him, and the other man's response condemns him. It is a saving response that we need to understand, and we need to think of that a moment. The moment of us are of our suffering, the moment of our hardship, how are we going to respond to that? What path will you take? The path of faith, the path or acceptance, or the path of judging, or the path of say or insult? What response are we going to take? And here's the advice when we go through the suffering. Ignore the crowd. Ignore the crowd. Why do I say that? Because the people, the crowd was saying, if you are the Messiah, if you are the Messiah. So if you ignore the crowd and focus on Jesus, the other thief ignored the crowd and listened to Jesus. Because he was, you know, they both, in the other accounts, the gospel accounts, you will see that the both criminals, the both thieves, started with rage, but after a while, the other thief changed his attitude and was changing his heart because he have heard for sure that when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they're doing. So something must have happened into his heart that he had to change that attitude, that request to ask Jesus, remember me. It was a different response than the other thief. Completely different. In the beginning was with insults, and then with time, he have heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, when Jesus said that. Remember that? Because they don't know what they're doing, and they divided the clothes and cast lots. But the other thief was there with pain, suffering at the same time as everybody else on that cross. Same time with pain and agony. He overlooked and he overheard the voice of the crowd and just said, I want to hear the voice of Jesus. Because that touched his heart to have the different attitude and says, remember me. We have to overlook the voices of the crowd that is negative. It is so simple for us to be crushed. If he was going to listen to the voice of the other thief, he would have been dead. If he would have listened to the voice of the crowd that insulted him, he wouldn't even be in paradise with Jesus. Now, we can look at this text here. We can see that, you know, sometimes people say, I know I'm going off topic, but sometimes people say, oh, you got to be baptized in water to be saved. Was he baptized in water? No. It's the accepting of Jesus Christ into your heart to be saved. And then we look about the paradise aspect of it. The Catholics will say there's a place, you know, purgatory or a place. Paradise, directly in heaven, directly in the place of God. No place of resting right there in the presence of the Lord. He's with him in paradise, with him itself. He's there. And the reason why this is important to us when we look at this, when we go through hardships, sufferings, the majority of the crowd will try to crush us. Will try to crush us and will try to bring us down. And will give you all kinds of reasons, all kinds of judgment, and all find all faults on the Lord. They will say, that's the Lord you serve. And all these things. And you know, we can play that and we can just listen to it and can even start making you doubt. It's true what my friend said. I served the Lord so many years, but why is he not responding the way he's supposed to respond? And it's so easy for us just to listen to that voice of the crowd. But we must be stronger and remind ourselves that he is faithful. He is faithful. Amen? Didn't we sing that song this morning? What was the song that we sang about faithfulness? Didn't we sing it this morning? Are we in the same church? Great is thy faithfulness. Did we sing that? No, that was in my own spirit. I'm just trying to see if you're still awake this morning. I was in another world right there. Brother Alaric and team, sorry, but I was worshiping in another song. By the way, it happened to me once, okay? I was song leading one Sunday morning, and I'm singing one song when the musicians were playing another song. So at the end of the service, the pastor comes up to me and goes, that was the first time I ever seen this in my whole life of ministry. I said, what? Two different songs that you led the church with one song, and the musicians were playing a totally opposite song. How did you pull that off? Well, I don't know. It just happened. So, Brother Alric, I was in my own song. Great is thy faithfulness, you were singing something else. But don't worry, the presence of the Lord was still there. Amen? Lord, help us to be focused. So there's like, we're saying that the voices are extremely important. There's 1,000 voices that hit home and around us. But the only one voice we must listen to is the Jesus Christ. And somehow, I don't know why this man had to trust in Jesus. I don't know, this text doesn't tell us, but I do know that Jesus responded to him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. He did respond to him in saying that. The other gospels, they do say that they started mocking, but then something happened into his life, and all of a sudden, he changed his word of thinking and says, wow, maybe he is the Messiah. Remember me. How many times we're in situations, says, Lord, remember me, Lord. Remember me, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. Don't we sing that and say that into our heart? Remember me, Lord. And the thief was there. He says, remember me. The voice of Jesus got louder than the voice of the crowd. And in these moments, New Hope Christian Assembly, make sure that we are listening to the voice of Jesus, to the right voices. And some of us will go into the wrong directions if we were going to listen to the wrong voices. And some of us, we know, I have seen people within the ministry, I've seen people serving the Lord for so many years, and all of a sudden they've listened to the wrong voices, and today they are total against the Word of God. They totally say that's fake. Because they were listening to the wrong voices. And condemn, and then just making fun and insulting the God, and says that God, you know, look at this here. In verse 40, but the other answer rebuked him, don't you even fear God? Now this fear is not in reverence or awe before the Lord here, since you're undergoing the same punishment. This meaning that aren't you afraid of Jesus? Do you understand who he is? Aren't you afraid of, fear God? You don't even fear God. Like, really? An insult. It must have hurt even the other thief. Brothers and sisters, when you hear, when someone has insults towards God, and I know a brother in this church that explained to me a couple of times, Brother Ed, I mentioned your name. He mentioned this a couple of times to me that when he was at workplace in the work and people were just insulting and making fun of things of God, he rebuked them and said, I don't want to hear things like this. He defended because that's the God he serves. It has to do something in your life, in your heart, when someone is insulting God. Because that's the God you and I serve today. That's the God you and I love. That's the God who responds to us. That's the God. So when you hear someone say words like, stop it in the name of Jesus and say, that's my Father that you're talking to. You got to defend. You got to do in that way. You got to stand up what is right. So something must have happened in this other thief. Don't you fear God? Keep your mouth shut. Aren't you afraid of this guy? He can just wipe you off the face of the earth. The other thief must have understood that after a while when he said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. So when you experience Christ, when you experience the power of God in your life, and you hear someone crushing and insulting, you must stand firm. Now I'm going to share you something of a little bit of my bad temper, because I do have a little faults too. Okay, I'm Italian, so I have a little bit of faults. Mark them down. So there was this other church that I was ministering at, and there was this gentleman that came in the church. He was a smart fellow. And there was a lot of children around. And he comes in, secretary of the church was there, the associate pastor was there. And he comes in and he starts to say things, totally vulgar words against God. And he started sticking out fingers and whatever it is like that. I've noticed in Alberta there's a lot of people who stick out fingers when you miss. So they start saying fingers and insulting God. Just really bad words in front of those kids. And something inside of me just, it bothered me. Please don't do what I did, okay? Because I got in trouble for this. So I pick him up like this. And I just took him outside, out of the church. I put him outside of the church like this. The secretary and the associate pastor goes, "What are you doing? This is a church. It's a public place. You can't do that." He says, "He's insulting the God that I serve. And not only that, he's insulting him in front of our children, and we don't want our children to take that dirty things in their mind and their hearts." And I took him and I put him outside. "You weren't afraid?" "No, because, you know, David, I was David, and he was Goliath." We stand up what is right. If something has to happen inside. So that thief says, "Don't you fear God? Wake up, man. You're about to die. Take the moment and give your life to Jesus instead." In Luke 12, verse 4 and 5, it says, "And I say to you, my friends, don't fear those who kill the body. After that, can do nothing more. But I will show you the one who want to fear. Fear him who has the authority to throw people into hell after death. Yes, I say to you, this is the one to fear, the fear of the Lord." He fears God, and he understood the reality that one day he would give an account to it. Yes, this should be the fear of God in our lives. So he ignores the crowd, and he fears God, and just trusts Jesus. And in verse 42 it says, "And he said to him, Jesus, remember me as when you come into your kingdom." This basically throws himself to the mercy of Jesus. And he says, "I'm about to die, and the only hope I have is to trust you, Jesus." And we have to understand a little bit of time. He's a sinner. He was going to die. He understood that Jesus is righteous and he fears God. He understood that he will receive righteousness not by his own. He knew that he needed Jesus. He knew that he was the only way is through Jesus. He had heard speak about Jesus, but now he experienced Jesus on the side of the cross. There's a difference between two thieves. The first one wanted to be saved by the suffering. Meanwhile, the other thief wanted to be saved by the judgment of God. Now, all this that I want to share with you this morning is the same. The two thieves were both in extreme pain, both suffering, both having a hard time, both are going to die, both different responses. One is the response to save himself off the cross, but the other one to save him and to save him from the judgment of God. How are we going to respond when the voices, when sufferings come hit home? Now, if you just look at the two thieves, have we experienced the first thief at times and said, "Lord, if you're really there, save me"? Am I the only one who said that? We all said that. But we want to overlook and just crush the voices of the crowd, the voices of the negativity, and listen to the voice of Jesus that overlook at everything. It will make us go into the right path once again. Remembering that he is faithful. He is righteous. Remembering that he has so many promises for us. Over 3,000 promises. We need to remind ourselves. Because I have to tell you this, and I want to share with you with all my heart. There are times even here in my last 11 months that I've been here in New Hope Christian Assembly, in not just New Hope Christian, but Edmonton, Alberta. There are times these voices will come to me and say, "You've done the wrong choice. What are you doing? You've done the wrong choice." And those voices can crush me. But I have to overlook at those voices and put him down and crushed him and says, "I'm listening to the voice of Jesus. Because if he brought me is us here, he has promised us this. If he's brought us here, he has promised me a family. If he's brought us here, he's promised me finances. If he's promised here, he's promised us a church." And so forth, and so forth, and so forth. We got to remember he's faithful and the promises of God. It is so simple for us to be crushed by a voice of person, of people. So overlook at that voice. And remember what God has called you to. Remember what God has called you to do. And listen to the voice of God at all times. At all times, to listen to that voice. And don't ever forget that. We can learn from the one thief. How are we going to respond to Jesus? Are we going to respond with anger? Or with no trust? Or are we going to submissive our spirit to accept Jesus into our situation? Don't listen to the crowd. the crowd's voice that will crush you, but let's listen to the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus should be louder than the voice of the people. Amen? Let's all stand this morning. As we're going to conclude, maybe if a piano player, just we're going to conclude with a song, or and we're going to pray and ask God just to be with us. Please pray for us and the family as we leave for the week. We'll be back next, not the following Sunday, but the 8th I'll be here in church. Please come on out for communion service next week, and Pastor Alan will be sharing on the a sermon on the Pentecost. Is that correct? Amen. So just pray for us. Let's bow our heads and our eyes, and just going to focus on what God has shared with us. And in a nutshell, what we've learned here, listen to the voice of Jesus more than the voice of the crowd. Amen. Let's take a moment to worship Him this morning and just say, Lord, we love You. We love You, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.